If you're with us this morning, we're actually going to be in Romans chapter 6. So if you have your Bible, turn to Romans chapter 6. We're continuing this morning our series entitled Contrast, and we've been looking at how we are called to think differently. If God has given us these paradoxes, He's given us these contrasting ideas in Scripture, it challenges us not to think like we've always thought, but to think differently. For instance, Matthew 16, 25 tells us, if you're going to save your life, you have to lose it. And so what do these ideas or principles mean for us? And we've looked at everything from light and darkness we'll look at giving and receiving next week. We've looked at all these contrasts in Scripture. This morning, we're going to be looking at freedom and bondage. Freedom in bondage. So if you have your Bible, turn with me to Romans chapter 6. Verses 16 through 23. You know, the word slavery or bondage always has bad and negative connotations for us because we have experienced a horrific event in our own country's history in how slavery has been completely and totally immorally used and abused. And bondage is something that holds us back. It keeps us from being what we should be. And so we have this idea and this right idea that we want to escape bondage, escape slavery, and find freedom. Our nation, even with its history, its horrible history with slavery, was founded on this idea that we are a free nation, that there is freedom here in this land. We celebrate it, we're promoting it, and we believe it. That we have freedom simply because of the nation that we live in. And yet many of us still find ourselves in bondage and held back in some respects. We're going to look at how these contrasting principles, particularly in Romans chapter 6, play out of freedom and bondage. But let me share with you that bondage and slavery takes a lot of different forms. And so whatever you have in your mind that bondage may be, it probably is true. But it's probably not limited to what you have in your thought process. For starters, some of us are in slavery or bondage to our health. We're in poor health and we like to do things that we just physically are unable to. We once were and now we can't, or maybe we never have been able to. I am in bondage and slavery to my physical limitations. Where I want the freedom to dunk a basketball, I'm in bondage and slavery to this scrawny, short body, and I will never dunk a basketball. Some of you are in bondage or slavery to circumstances. Life has happened, and you weren't expecting it. Something came out of nowhere, whether it be a relationship that fell apart, whether it be a tragedy in your life. But whatever circumstance hit you has now changed your life forever. And you feel as if you are now in slavery or bondage to your new circumstances. Others of us are in bondage of our own doing. We're slaves to our own temptations and sins. And while we want to break those horrible, horrific habits of sin, we struggle and they hold us back. And so slavery or bondage may take a number of different forms. It may be financial for you, economical. It may be personal. It may be corporate. It may be in your family. It may be in your work. It may be any number of things that we examine and we think of bondage. Lord, if I could just break free from this, if I could just get out from underneath that. This morning, we're going to look at how to find freedom. How to find true freedom, not manufactured freedom, not our own idea of freedom, but how we can find the most freedom we've ever experienced in our entire lives. And so read with me in Romans chapter 6. Now this is kind of a wordy passage, so we're going to walk through it slowly, but read verses 16 through 23. And as Paul, who is writing this, kind of shares a truth, we'll share with you exactly what he's saying. It's not difficult once we read it slowly. Let's start in verse 16. Don't you know that if you offer yourself as someone, as obedient slaves, you are slaves of that one you obey? This is pretty black and white. So it's a little wordy with offer, obedience, slaves, obey, and there's all these repeated words. But basically, Paul is saying, if you offer yourself as a slave to someone, you are now slaves to that person. It's pretty easy to understand when we just think of it that way. You voluntarily submit yourself to an individual, they become your master. And so we have the choice. It's either of sin leading to death or of obedience leading to righteousness. You can submit yourselves to be a slave of a sinful life, and it will master you, or you can submit yourself to be a slave to righteousness in obedience. But thank God that although you used to be slaves of sin, you obeyed from the heart the pattern of teaching which you were handed over. And having been set free from sin, you became enslaved to righteousness. Paul says there was a time when you submitted yourselves to be slaves of sin. And Paul says to the people he's writing to, these Roman Christians, I'm thankful that you are no longer slaves to sin. But here's an interesting way he phrases it. Although you've been free from being slaves to sin, you have now willingly enslaved yourself to righteousness. Remember, the one that you submit to is the one who will be your master. The one you give yourself to is the one who will rule over you. And Paul writes, he's thankful that they have enslaved themselves to righteousness. I'm using a human analogy, he says, because of the weakness of your flesh. Just as you offer the parts of yourselves as slaves to impurity and greater lawlessness, so now offer them as slaves to righteousness, which results in sanctification. Paul is saying the same way you were 100% on board in your sinful life, now be 100% on board in walking with God. When you were slaves to sin, you were free with regard to righteousness. Now here's what Paul is saying. When you were in a sinful lifestyle, when you were living your life however you wanted to, you didn't have to worry about the laws of God. You were free from that. If you're a sinful person who doesn't want to have anything to do with God, you just live however you want. And so it says, what fruit was produced from the things you are now ashamed of? When you were living in a sinful lifestyle, what good did it bring you? The outcome, he says, of those things is death. But now, since you've been set free from sin and become enslaved to God, you have fruit, which is resulting in sanctification. And the outcome is eternal life. And Romans 6:23 says, the wages of sin is death. What we earn for sin is death. But the gift of God for submitting to Him is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. You know, the reason why I picked this particular passage is because it's kind of an interesting wording. It makes me think differently on this idea of freedom and bondage. Because I realize as I read it that I now am still enslaved, free from sin, but enslaved to God. And that negative connotation, that thought process of the wickedness of slavery in our own nation and throughout history comes over me, and I say, wait a second, I want nothing to do with being a slave anymore. I want absolute freedom. I want to be free to make the decisions that I make. I want to have the choices and my own autonomy. I want to be in charge. I don't want to be enslaved any longer. And we find in Romans 6, there is freedom from sin, but there is not ultimate freedom. We don't get to just do whatever we want to do. We now are enslaved to God. Now, here's an interesting thought. I want you to think about this for just a second. There is no such thing from a human point of view, whether you're a Christian or a non-Christian, there is no such thing as complete and perfect and ultimate freedom. Let me put it this way. Everyone has a boss. Every single person has someone who is a boss over them. If you are working, if you have a job, if you clock in on Monday morning, there is someone who is your superior. And if you own your own business and you think, I don't have a superior in my line of work, guess what? You have a government that tells you when to pay what taxes and on what dates to pay them. In our own nation, we're a nation of laws, one of the freest countries in the world, maybe the most free country in the world. And yet, we are a nation of laws. You think you have absolute freedom in this country until you do 30 miles an hour over the speed limit. Right? And until you fly past that cop and he pulls you over and he gives you a ticket. You're enslaved to the laws of the land. We roll our eyes over speeding tickets, at least I do, but we're thankful for some of these laws. You don't have the freedom to walk into any store that you want to, fill up your shopping cart, and walk out without paying. It's called theft. It's stealing. You don't have the freedom to do that. You're enslaved to a law that says, do not steal. And even if you could own your own private island where you were the boss and you were the king and you made up the laws and you changed them according to what you wanted and you had complete legal freedom, you still are in bondage on this earth. You are now in bondage to the laws of science and physics. You can jump as high as you want, but gravity will always pull you down. There will always be something that will keep you from being completely free. Not only that, but you're on your own island. You can break all the rules you want, but as soon as you step off that island, now you're in someone else's control. So you do something worthy of being arrested and thrown in prison. You go to your island and you feel like you're free, but guess what? You're not. You're a slave to the borders of your island. You're stuck there. You can't get off. You can't leave. Maybe if you owned the entire universe, you'd have freedom, but again, there are laws of science and physics that would keep you bound. Everyone has a boss. There is no perfect freedom. There is no ultimate, I make every decision and do what I want. We are bound as human beings. Romans 6:16 puts it this way. Don't you know that if you offer yourselves as someone as obedient slaves, you are slaves of that one you obey, either of sin leading to death, or obedience leading to righteousness. Paul is saying you have a choice in your spiritual life. You're going to be a slave to someone. Are you going to let sin be your boss? Or are you going to let God and His righteousness be your boss? We have to get this idea out of our minds that we have some way to attain perfect freedom, ultimate freedom, because we do not. And this is part of God's creative order. There are some things we think, well, if sin would have never entered the world, Adam and Eve had all the freedom that they wanted. That's just not true. God created us to have order and structure. There was always the intention of a boss over us, a lord over us. Which is why, when God put Adam and Eve in the garden, He didn't say, eat every fruit from every tree that you want and stop there. He says, wait. There's a limitation. But don't eat from the one tree in the center of the garden. I, your boss, your Lord, even in your perfect state, have given you a restriction. And Adam and Eve were then enslaved to the obedience of God, to obey what He commanded them to obey. We don't like this idea of having a boss. We want to be free. We want to be in charge. We want to be able to make all of the decisions for our lives. And so sometimes it's appealing to us to stay in a life of sin because we're no longer or we're never enslaved to the laws of God. But the problem is, when we decide to do things our own way, realizing that we're slaves to sin then, we find that sin is a horrible master. Sin is a horrible master. We get to make some decisions that we can live how we want. The Bible says don't, but we do it anyways. The Word of God restricts us, and yet we go full force. What we find is that sin is a horrible master. That's why Paul writes in Romans 6:21, talking about our life in sin, being in sin. He says, what fruit was produced from the things you're now ashamed of? That is the sin in your life. What did the master of sin lead you to? The outcome, he says, of those things is death. Then in Romans 6:23, it tells us, the wages of sin is death. This is what we get for following our own ways. This is what we have earned, the wages that we have received. And so when we decide we want freedom from the law of God, when we want to do things our own way, we turn to a sinful lifestyle. We continue in a sinful lifestyle that only heaps death and judgment on us. There is no freedom following a life of sin. We think we have freedom to do what we want, but sin is a horrible master. What we find is morality. Not just what we think is right and wrong, but morality according to the Word of God really provides freedom for us. Really, it liberates us. It doesn't keep us in bondage. And so God has put commands in Scripture. God has put guidelines in Scripture, not to box us in, but to give us freedom. We can think of the obedience to God as the guardrail on a twisty road up a mountain. Think, why do they put guardrails on twisty roads up mountains? Because if you're driving your car and there is nothing there to enslave you to the road, you fly off the edge and you crash. And so they put restrictions. You can only go so close to the edge, and here's a guardrail to keep you from going further. It binds you in. They put speed limits. Only go this fast on this road, because if you're going too fast up or down this mountain, you will lose control and you will crash. So we are bound by the guardrails and the speed limit and the other rules of the road for what purpose? To keep us in bondage? No. To liberate you. To get you past the mountain. To get you to the other side. But sin takes away all of those barriers. Takes away all of those limitations and says you have freedom to run. You have freedom to go. Go as fast as you want, as hard as you want. Get as close to the edge as you want. And as sin leads us closer and closer to the edge, we figure out very quickly the outcome, the wages, is not liberty. It's not freedom. But sin leads us to death and pain, suffering. Sin leads us to separation from God. Sin is a horrible master to follow. It feels good in the moment. The rush of going fast, the rush of fully embracing something we desire feels great until the after effects begin to kick in and we realize there's guilt and there's shame. That freedom that sin promised us is a myth and it's a lie. And so we have a choice to make. Will we enslave ourselves or allow ourselves to continue in slavery to sin, this horrible master? Or will we submit ourselves to the God who gives us limitations and guidelines in order to give us the most freedom we can experience? And so our truth is this morning that submission to God is the way to find freedom from sin. Submission to God is the way to find freedom from sin. It's trading our slavery to sin and making ourselves slaves to God. I try to think back in my life, what's the most freeing time I've ever had in my life? When have I been the most free as an individual? So for the last three and a half decades, what point in time was I the most free? And so we'll start at the very beginning. Was it the day I was born? I mean, I had no responsibilities. I didn't even have to think for myself. People picked me up and carried me where I needed to go and did everything for me. I was like a king, right? They just, you're hungry? We'll feed you. You're dirty? We'll clean you up. But certainly we don't have freedom as an infant, right? I mean, we can't walk and move. We have physical limitations. We're dependent on other people. There's no ultimate freedom as an infant. So maybe it's as a toddler. I thought, okay, once I get mobile and I don't have the responsibilities, then I have run of the house. I can go wherever I want. I can go full speed ahead. I'm so cute that my parents let me get away with some things. You know how toddlers are. Do you know what? The number one word I heard as a toddler was, but it's the same one you tell to your toddler. No, right? They started putting stuff in plugs. Man, I wanted to stick screwdrivers in those holes. What are they covering them up for? Why'd you lock that cabinet? I was going to climb inside that thing, you know? So we don't have freedom as a toddler. We now have mobility, but we don't have freedom. Certainly as an elementary age kid, I didn't have freedoms. My parents were always telling me where I could go and where I couldn't go, who I could hang out with and what friends they'd rather me not hang out with. And they would pick me up and drop me off places, but there were times I wanted to go and they said I couldn't. And I had rules to follow. And then by elementary age, you start having these things called chores. Boy, that's not fun. That feels like slavery, doesn't it? Our elementary kids in here, I'm sorry, your parents enslave you to do chores. So maybe it's when you're in middle school or high school. Well, if you tell your toddler no, I promise you that you've told your teenager no even more, right? Because we have to put guardrails and we have to put guidelines. We have to put barriers. And so while now maybe you're getting to an age where you're able to drive and you have some more freedoms, that's traded with now responsibility. How many of you all as a teenager was, if you want to drive, you get your own gas money for your car? Right? If you want to have some freedoms to go and do, you better be working and giving back. These are good principles to learn in life, and so you start to learn. You're trading some freedom for responsibility. Right? You're giving up your freedom around the house because you're serving and doing more to be responsible and earn money in exchange for your freedom to drive. Probably my most free years in my life were, for me personally, the first 2 or 3 years of college. Because at that point, I wasn't living at home. My parents, I was blessed enough that they were able to pay for my school. And so I was able to just focus on my schoolwork, and I didn't have to work. And I went to Steak and Shake every morning at 1 in the morning and could live and do whatever I wanted. But you know what I found really quickly? At the most freeing time in my life are some of the dumbest decisions I made in my life. I really wish somebody would have been there saying, don't stay up till 4 in the morning when you have a test at 8 in the morning, you know? Don't wait till the last second to write that paper. I wish I had some guidelines, someone there to tell me, do this and don't do that. So maybe it's then when you get married and you're finally completely on your own and you're out of the house and you start a family and you think you're free when you have just you and your spouse, and then you have three little enslavers that come along, you know, a third one on the way. Now we're enslaved to taking our kids where they need to go, picking them up and dropping them off. And so I think, okay, one day I'm going to retire. And when I'm in retirement, then down the road I'm going to have complete freedom. And yeah, there's some more freedom, but you know what? You trade some financial stability for that too, don't you? You're enslaved by how far your pocketbook will go. You want to take all these trips until you realize you're planning on living past the end of next year. You better save some of that, you know? All of our lives, we're trading some freedoms for others. We're giving up some freedoms and taking on responsibilities in order to get some other freedoms. We're working and becoming a slave to the time clock in order that we have freedom to pay our bills or maybe have some fun. We're trading one enslavement for another. This is not new for us. It's just when we put it in the context of spirituality, it's kind of like, I don't want to be slaves. But we remember everyone has a boss. We're always enslaved to something. And when we realize that sin is a horrible master, it's going to lead us to death and destruction. The only way to find freedom from our own lifestyle is to submit and enslave ourselves to God. Romans 6:18 says, having been set free from sin, you became enslaved to righteousness. In other words, you have traded your life enslaved to sin for a life where you are enslaved to God. And sin being a horrible master, we turn to a God who is an amazing and wonderful and liberating master. That's why Romans 6:23, the rest of the verse says, the wages of sin is death. Yes, being enslaved to sin brings on death. But the gift of God, when we are enslaved to God, the gift, not the wages that we've earned, the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Bondage and slavery takes on a lot of different forms, but there is no more important area of being enslaved than in our spiritual walk with God. And you and I are born enslaved to sin. From the moment we were conceived, we have become enslaved to sin, which leads to death. And the beauty of the gospel of Scripture is that we don't have to stay enslaved to this horrible master of sin. That we don't have to continue doing things on our own and trying to figure them out, making up our own rules, living without the Word of God guiding us, but we can trade our sinful life for a life that gives us more freedom than we could have otherwise. Now, that does not mean we're absolutely free to live how we want. No, we are then to submit to God. We are to make Him our Lord. It is submission to God and saying, "You're in control," that is the way to find freedom from sin. And so Scripture does not promise you when you come to Christ, you'll always feel good and everything will be great. It says, no, you still struggle. You still have restrictions. You still have guidelines. You'll still have circumstances and tragedies. But there is more freedom to be found in Christ. There is, I'll dare say, ultimate freedom from what we can experience to be found in Christ when we willingly submit and say, "God, I cannot live my life the way I've always lived it. I need You to be my Lord. I need forgiveness for the way I used to live, and I need You to show me how I'm to live today." So yes, in order to be set free, we must submit ourselves in bondage to Christ. "Lord, my ways aren't working. I need Your ways." This morning, we do that as we apply that to our lives in a few steps. And the first step is, do I know, beyond the shadow of a doubt, am I confident and sure that my way of life has always led me astray, and am I submitting to God and saying, "I don't want to live my way anymore. Forgive me for the way I've lived and lead me. Be my Lord." Step one is simply trading our sinfulness and our slavery to sin and trading it for slavery to righteousness in God. The step two is then living that out day by day. "God, I want more freedom, so let me find more in what Your Word says. Let me dig deeper into the guidelines You've given me. Lord, what are You calling me to do, and what are You calling me to sacrifice? What am I doing that is displeasing to You, and what do I need to do that would bring You honor? How are You leading me, and how can I make myself Your servant and Your slave today?" Maybe that's in an area of service. Maybe that's in a daily discipline like reading the Word of God in prayer. Maybe that's in your family or your work or your neighborhood. But what are ways that God is calling you to live in His will, in His way, that will ultimately bring freedom to your life? As we come to our time of invitation, I would invite you to close your eyes, bow your head, and pray with me. Father, I thank You that You set us free from sin. Lord, I'm so thankful that You then call us to enslave ourselves to You. We will, Lord, be enslaved to one or the other. So Lord, this morning, I know there are many of us who feel bound by our sin and our lifestyles. Feel enslaved because the way they've been living their life has not borne the fruit that they've thought it would. Lord, it's ultimately leading us to a spiritual death and a separation from You. So Lord, I pray that You would help each of us submit fully to Your Word, Your way, and Your salvation. I pray that we would simply trade our own life of slavery to sin for a life that now enslaves ourselves to You. Lord, I thank You that You are a good master. I thank You that You want what's best for us. Lord, not that we'll have ultimate anarchy and freedom in our lives, but that we'll have all the freedom that You've created us to have and more than we've ever experienced. Lord, we pray that we would submit our lives to You and that You would set us free. It's in Your name we pray. Amen.